soul, my Savior God to be. How great Thou art! How great Thou art! Then sing, my soul.
Isn't it good to be back at camp meeting? Amen. Have you enjoyed camp meeting here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Wasn't he wonderful? Amen. So glad that God is in our midst and we're here again this morning. And we're just looking to see what the Lord would have for us today. I know it's going to be something good. I don't know what it'll be, but I know it's going to be something good. Are you glad to be here? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Hurry, sing that verse for me.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the star, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout.
He's the greatest thing that's ever been.
Savior God, to thee. How great thou art!
How great thou art! Give him a hand clap of praise. You love him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer request this morning. First of all, let me make this announcement. This is everyone is invited to the wedding of Brother Aaron Vaughn, Sister Melissa McNulty on Saturday, August the 13th at 11 a.m. at the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. The reception will follow at the pavilion, so remember that. That's next Saturday. Let's remember that. Brother Randy Scott sends this in. Want to thank the Lord for watching over me yesterday morning. Shortly after eating breakfast, my airway passage became restricted. Lost the ability to catch my breath for several minutes. After saying a prayer, calling on the name of Jesus, the Lord came down and was instantly able to breathe again. So thankful for the Lord and His mercy. And Brother Randy's wife sends that in, so we thank the Lord for that. Want to pray for a co-worker's father going into surgery on Monday for removal of cyst on his spine. Mr. White is the man's name, so we want to remember that prayer request. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Billie Jean Short. Has to have laser surgery to remove scar tissue from her eye on Tuesday. So let's remember that prayer request on behalf of that person this morning. Brother Dan, Sister Judy Dyer says our grandson Josh Williamson and wife Megan are missionaries in Alaska. On Monday they had healthy twins born. This morning the mother is in the ER with a high blood pressure. So we want to remember that prayer request as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that. We want to pray for a 16-year-old boy. His name is Matthew, suffering from complications related to treatment for leukemia. He's in horrible pain, so let's pray for that need today. As we pray, we want to pray for Lauren Yacht. She is sick this morning, needs healing. Let's remember that. Sister Susanna Holmquist says, I want to thank the Lord for giving me my heart's desire and filling me with the Holy Ghost. God is good all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want to pray for Allie Ritchie, checking for lymphoma. Let's remember that prayer request this morning. Also Nathan Catron. For surgery, for kidney problems, also for alcohol-related problems. This is a request sent in from Indiana, so let's remember that need this morning. Sister Maria Sponsia says, Sister Anna Shipley requests that we continue to pray for her son, Tim. He is still in the intensive care unit at Langland Hospital in Greenville. Today they will remove him from life support, hoping that he will be able to breathe on his own. So we certainly want to pray for that need this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God is able? Amen. Somebody say, God is able. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Danny Therese, would you come this morning and take us to the Lord in prayer as we pray today? Let's just commit these things unto the Lord and ask God to be mindful of this situation today. Brother Danny and Sister Phoebe, I believe Brother Danny's father-in-law and family may be visiting, and we just want to welcome them to the service this morning. God, give them a nice hand this morning, if you would. God bless you.
Amen. How many believe this morning? Do you believe that God still works? Do you believe all things are possible? Amen. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, Father, this morning for another day of life. We give you thanks, Father, for being able to reach to our needs, to be able to believe, Father, to be able to receive from you, to be able to hear your word, Lord, to be able to sing to you praises of glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for this day, for your word, Lord God. We give you thanks, Father, for the testimonies that have been sent in, Lord God, and for the more that are going to be coming forth. We pray, Father God, that you take care of each need that's been mentioned this morning, Father, by the raising of the hand, Father, and the ones that have been mentioned by Brother Louis, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you come upon our midst, Father, and that you take care of each need that's been mentioned that is needed, Father. For God, we know that you are all-sufficient, Father. You're all-powerful. You're omnipotent. You receive the glory and praise, Father. We give you thanks this morning, Father, for another day of life, Father. We give you thanks for our brothers and sisters, Father God. We give you thanks, Father, for being part of your glory, being part of your bride, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Father, honor and glory, Lord. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every other name, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor today with us, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you in the service. All those that would be streaming this service today, we pray that it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. It's a New Testament church, and we're part of it. And we're rising up. We can't help it. It's what we're called to do. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Start with a verse.
All right, we'll get together here in a minute.
Amen.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, a bride of Christ adorned in a wedding gown.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Just like in the days of old.
Hallelujah.
They stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down.
We're rising up.
Plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In a jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band.
We're rising up
with the New Testament church rising up. It's all long gone.
Oh, Lord.
And all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days, you'll pour of His Spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength here in think it's all long gone.
Oh, Lord.
And all God's miracles are done. Then I have some good news to bring to you.
Thank you, Lord.
In this last days, He'll pour of His Spirit more and more.
Thank you, Lord.
Like a mighty eagle, your strength He'll renew.
Rising up,
rising up,
rising up,
we're rising up.
God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns.
He reigns.
Our God reigns.
Yes, He reigns. Our God reigns.
Yes, our God reigns.
His name is Jesus.
You be seated this morning. Sister Bethany Lawson, if you'd come onto the platform. Brother Justin, if you'd come onto the platform, getting ready to sing for us this morning. Let's just sing a little bit more of that chorus as they make preparations to sing for us. Give them a nice hand as they come to sing for you today. Our God reigns.
Out traveling for the Lord many years ago, and I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe, but it's then I would stumble, then I would humble down, and I say, praise the Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, gotta make it to heaven somehow, though the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around. For my journey now, there's nothing in this world that could ever take the place of God's love, and silver and gold he can never buy a touch from above. When I need a healing and I begin to feel in his power, and a sinner would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, gotta make it to heaven. Nothing in this world that could ever take the place of God's love. You see, silver and gold, it can never buy a touch from above. And when I need a healing, then I begin to feel in His power. And instead I would say, I wouldn't take nothing for this journey now. And I wouldn't
I'm nervous. Bad. I'm so glad for that blood that was stained on Calvary. Y'all pray for me. I don't stand up here and look like a big crybaby when I sing a song, because it's liable to happen. I'm just, ever since that deliverance service, my life's been different. I've looked at things differently, and I'm so happy. I can testify today that I'm not the same man I was when I stood on this platform and got prayed for. And that's because the blood of Jesus Christ, it was stained for me. I realized that it became personal. It was for me. It wasn't for mom and dad. It wasn't for everybody else. It was for me. I seen that day. I pray you'd help me. Coming clean, all the secrets he has kept from her so long are finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts him to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst and all the fuss. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought, that just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain. And with its power, every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, undeserved, that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood.
Stand together if you would. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How we so appreciate the blood of our Lord Jesus. What it has done for us. not just forgiven our sins, but totally made us new creatures in Him. Aren't you glad you're not just savable, but redeemable? Everybody that's saved is not redeemable, but everybody that's redeemed is savable. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but everybody that's saved is not redeemed. Now you're looking at me funny. Redeemed means you're took back to the original owner. Some folks are saved. They didn't belong to the original owner, but I hope by God's grace we did. Amen. So enjoyed the word last night. Just praise the Lord. Looking forward today to see what the Lord will speak to us again. I don't know how you feel about the time that we're living, but to me we're living in such a wonderful, wonderful hour of what God has done. Prophecies are coming to pass weekly, sometimes daily. Things are coming to pass. We're living in a great time. It's a terrible time, but it's a great time. It's an age of contrast, an age of darkness, and yet an age of such great, wonderful light. What a privilege you've been given to be a Christian. Let's sing together, Touching Jesus. And we'll invite Brother Wayne to come. Just bring to us today what the Lord has placed upon his heart. Remember to pull on the gift of God, whatever your need is. God can speak exactly to you. Be so honed to where that there's not a shadow of doubt in your mind that God's speaking to you. Oh, woman, tried so many physicians. Let's sing it together. Yet grew worse, so to Jesus she came. And when that crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words through her pain. Now you have the same attitude. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Praise God. Let's sing it again. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Yes, Lord.
Think of what this message has done for us and the grace that it's given us in our life. Amen. I'd rather be a Christian than anything that I know. Amen. And serve Him. And we just want to say that it is an honor to be back here with you this morning. And I so appreciated the warm welcome that you gave us last night. Thank you so much. And just a little bit nervous coming here for the first time. And your spirits were so welcome and warm to us. And I just want to say we thank you for that. And just ask the Lord to bless you richly today. And we want to thank Brother Donnie and his wife, Sister Carol, for the opportunity to be here, and each one of you. And so we just want to this morning to bow our hearts in a word of prayer. If you have a special need this morning, let's just reach out to him and ask him to touch that need this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts this morning, Lord, as your children. Lord, we look to even the dust in which we have came. Lord, we are reminded of how small that we are, how insignificant that man is without you. Lord, without you this morning, there's not one hope, Lord. There's not one thing that we could do. But Lord Jesus, with your grace this morning, Lord, all things are possible to them that believe. And I just pray this morning as this people that has gathered in this building that may you walk the aisles. Lord Jesus, touching the needs of your children. And Lord, only you can see the things that is needed this morning. I pray, Father, that you would loosen the shackles, Lord. May you heal the sick. May you lead them, Father, that has great need of you this morning. May you lead them to their expectations of life. Now, Lord Jesus, we commit this service in your hand this morning. And we ask you humbly, Lord, that you would come among us. And Father, if there be anything done, we pray that it be given to you for glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And may God bless you as you have your Bibles this morning. Amen. Let's turn, if we can, into the book of 1 John chapter 5. And the fourth verse here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to speak to you this morning a little bit on the pardoning power that's in His presence. We just ask if you'd be seated this morning. That by the grace of God, we'll look at something this morning laying in this. And I believe that as we just started speaking with you last night a little bit upon the time that we're living, I believe that it is a very special time. I'm thankful to the Lord to give me this time in life to live and to allow us to be a part of something that is so much bigger than ourselves. Amen. And to get caught into the vortex of when God is fulfilling something, and just like He just catches you into it, and then you get to be a part of something that is much bigger, much greater than you could ever be, but you've been able to be a part of something. And I look at the times that we live, and we can look back in our history, and we can look in the Bible days, and then we can see God moving Bible days right up to our time. And to think that we look at what happened even in a prophet's generation. And I travel a little bit and speak to different brothers, and you hear different things across the field. And sometimes it seems like if we're not careful, people are looking backward a whole lot more than they're looking at what God's doing. And you start thinking of that, and I hear people talking about trying to bring revival, and they're talking about Wigglesworth, or they're talking about something that happened in the early 1900s, or they're trying to go back and read something that's from another generation and trying to move that up into the church. Now, we recognize that that's no more than just painting a fire, and nobody gets warmed by a painted fire. And it's just speaking about it. Brother Bram said, but a believer should not have to look backward to find it. He said, but it ought to realize the same God that done it then is the same God that is alive now. And He's still doing whatever He did, He's still doing this morning. And if you go back and find that even on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people were saved at one time on the day of Pentecost. And we think about the power that was presented to the church at Pentecost when God was introducing the church of the living God to the time of the kingdom and the bringing of the Holy Ghost into the church. And it was an introduction level. It was that time, and we read about it, and we think about how wonderful it is. And we think how we would have liked to have been there and heard that first sermon delivered by Peter when he showed that Jesus Christ had been raised up to power and had sent back the Holy Ghost, that the church could come into the power that he had died for. What a wonderful time that it would have been to live. But do you recognize that in our generation that a prophet stood in Durban, South Africa, and in one altar call called 30,000 people to that same power, which in hillbilly calculations, that's about 10 times what happened on the day of Pentecost happened in our generation. So we're seeing that God has not lost his power, but rather he has increased his power. The church of the living God is not lost anything, but God has only added to the church throughout the generations. And you know that Peter spoke that he would add until it come to the fullness of that life. And we find that in the scriptures, it tells us that God has intended for this to be coming to the church the whole time. When God began this, and even in the infancies of it, and when God was introducing this power, it was never God's intention for that power to remain just in its place or it to remain just in that, but yet he wanted it to go into the whole world, and he desired it to come into every believer, and he desired that it would be magnified and increased in power until his very life would live out in the bride of Jesus Christ in this generation. Now, we find out, of course, that before that could happen, the church had to have a pardon. They had to have an answer for the sin question. They had to have an answer for the sins of their lives and the way they were born and the sins they had committed and things that happened. Because you know, you'll never have faith till you find forgiveness. You'll never have faith until you're able to deal with the situations of your life and find out that you're not going to have to answer to God for something that if you bring it under the blood, it's already been paid for. And until you come to that place that you recognize that you have been released from the guilt of sin, you can never realize the true faith that God is trying to bring into this generation and this church in the end time that we're living in. I think of the prophet of God in All Things in 1962. He tells us this. He says, you know, God has given us all things. He said, now I'm not going to speak on all things. He said, but because we possess all things and he's given us all things, one thing that he did give us in this was a complete pardon from our sins. And to think this morning, when you think about a pardon, now you all know what a pardon is here in this country. A lot of the presidents get to give them just as they're leaving offices. But you know, there's been a lot of this happened in our generation because according to the scripture, your knowledge shall increase in the last days. And we see that right now knowledge is increasing in the way that we have found that the inventions are happening right now, things that are taking place are really not in the seen world. But what's really begin to happen is the things that are in the unseen world. You know, right now it's genetically modified organisms. It's gene modifications and engineering. And all these things are happening in the unseen because everybody has realized if you want real change, if you want real power, it has to come from the unseen world. Amen. The things we don't even see with our eyes is the things that is the most powerful thing that's among us. Amen. People are not scared of the, you know, we don't like them. We don't like the tick that you get on you, but they ain't not, everybody's not running from that. But it's the germs that are flying in the air that we don't know, can't see. They wipe out entire crowds, or they can get into an entire country in this nuclear warfare or the gas warfare they're having. So you see, the things that are unseen is where power is. And they recognize this when they come in with the inventions and went into microorganisms and genetics, and they started studying and they got into DNA. And I don't have time to preach on DNA this morning, but you know what a DNA does is it actually identifies you. In DNA, it actually has an identification of who you are, where you're from, what your parents were, where they come from. You can just keep running it back and back and back. It can take one follicle of your hair, or they can take a part of your toenail or part of your fingernail. And do you know that in every cell in your body is the same information? They can tell you everything about you just from one little cell. Well, when they started bringing that knowledge in, they started bringing it in into the natural world and put it into the technology of the police officers and this kind of thing. So now they're using it in criminal science. And so one of the greatest evidences that someone is in a location is their DNA. So if there's been a murder or some kind of great crime and there's some blood or some kind of evidence, they're trying to pick up DNA, because DNA is the greatest of all witnesses that you were there. Nobody has your DNA. Only you have your DNA. And it can be two of you look just alike, but your life will declare more than just the way you look. Everybody's got a twin, they say. But DNA is separate from that. It identifies you personally. And when you find out that there's people right now that spend half of their life on death row, or they was in some prison somewhere, but because of this new invention and because of the discovery of DNA, there's people now that they were sitting on death row. They had something coming to them. They was deserving. They, according to the courts of the land, according to eyewitnesses, they were going to have to take it. But because of this discovery, now they have an attorney that would come back and say, "Well, I believe that this man is innocent." But an attorney can't go turn anybody loose from jail. They have to go to a judge. And a judge has to give an opportunity for new evidence to be introduced, or it's still a sealed case. But if they would just open up and say, "All right, we've got a little place in the law that we will receive a greater witness or a greater evidence than we have." Amen. We've all looked at that already. But if you have something greater or something that couldn't be introduced at that time that you can bring now, we'll take a look at it. Can you imagine when the first time that the DNA was brought and there was a fella sitting on that death row and he was getting ready to die, and somebody walked in and they presented to the judge a blood case that said that this fella wasn't even there when this crime was being took. The DNA that was there and the DNA of this man does not match. Can you imagine when the judge had to look at all of the eyewitnesses and all of the accusations that were laying there, and he picked up his gavel and slapped it and said, "Look, I know what y'all saying. I know the accusations that are here, but the man wasn't even there when the crime took place. It couldn't have been him. He wasn't there in the first place. How could you say this is him?" Because you see, somebody might say, "Well, I saw him there. He was driving a car like this." Amen. It might have looked like somebody like that. Might have thought it was somebody like that. And there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. Amen. But there's no greater witness than life. You see, the greatest witness you are, who you are, is your identification. You change your hair color. You can change your face looks. You can gain weight, lose weight. But you'll not change the DNA, because it's the life. And the life is the greatest witness of who a person really is. Amen. I wish I had a little more time to preach on DNA. It was such a beautiful thought. But you recognize that what it does, though, is it's able. Now we know, amen, that our Lord Jesus was brought into this generation. And we had an attorney that went to the judge and said, "Look, you know, I know these people are under accusation. And there's a lot that's against them. But I would like to enter new evidence. Things that was not entered throughout the ages. I would like to bring the evidence of this book along with them." And you, of course, the attorney has to go to the judge. And the judge has to make a room for this to be brought. And can you imagine whenever, amen, that our evidence was brought in this time. And it was brought in, and come to find out that in the back room, of course, is an evidence room. And that's where they keep the evidence from the former crimes and the blood. And they had the gun, the knife, and all them things that was against you. And can you imagine when they go back there and they're going to pick up the blood evidence that was against you in the first place. And we find that someone has went in there and switched out the evidence for someone who wasn't there or wasn't guilty. And they come in and they said, "Well, we're going to put this new evidence in the case." You find out that Jesus Christ, when he introduced your evidence to the judge, he didn't take your blood and introduce it. But rather, he introduced his own blood on your behalf. And he said, "Now check this blood and see if they're guilty of any crime." And the judge would look at that blood and say, "This blood was not guilty. Even from the beginning, there is nothing in this blood. There's no sin here. There's no accusation here. It was not even there in the first place." You recognize today, you are not facing the judge by your own actions, by your own life, by the things that you've done in this. Thank God that he has dismissed who we were and what we did, and he entered new evidence in our
our case of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood would completely pardon every believer sitting here this morning. The judge himself has said you are not guilty, and all charges have been dismissed against them. You are free to go. Can you imagine, amen, what a time when something has released you, when something releases you from the guilt of sin. I'm not just talking about forgiven. I'm talking about the guilt that you've carried with you half your life. You've carried it into every prayer meeting. You've carried it into every church service. You've carried it into your home. You carry it in your job. It's a guilt that rests upon you, and you cannot really fully possess the promises because you're a guilty-minded person over something in your past or something you've done back there, and it haunts you and haunts you and haunts you. Amen. But you've got to remember that this is the age of the pardoning grace of Jesus Christ. This is not something that's just a carryover from another age. This is when the literal life of Jesus Christ has been introduced for you and I this morning. The blood is speaking for you. And I heard the judge say they never did it in the first place. Amen. I'll tell you, wouldn't it be something? You take a couple old jailbirds, and they're all sitting in the jail cells, and two or three of them lined up, and they can talk through the bars. You don't holler at one another. And them boys are sitting down there, and one of them telling the other, said, I don't want to stay in jail the rest of my life. I don't think I would really deserve this. And one looked over the other and said, well, I feel sorry for you. I pardon you. Well, now, amen, there's no power in that. That's just one jailbird pardoning another. Can you imagine when the fella comes, the jailkeeper comes walking down the aisle, and the fella in jail said, hey buddy, I'm pardoned, let me out of here. He said, who said so? Well, he did over there. He just laughs at him. That's just another jailbird. He ain't got no ability to pardon you. It don't matter what he says. He can say anything he wants to. It still doesn't release you. Amen. You understand that there's a lot of people that's in jail. They're in jail by their own birth. Amen. And they've heard some denominational voice somewhere that says you can go free. Amen. And then they say, well, I'm pardoned, but they're still smoking cigarettes. Amen. They're still in jail to immorality. They still have all kinds of things in their life because it was just one jailbird to another that you can be free. Amen. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about a president coming down to your jail cell and telling you by the grace of God this morning, you have been liberated by the voice of the age that you're living in. What a beautiful time to live is when a president can come among the people, amen, that have been bound and pardon them. Amen. We're caught in something bigger than we are this morning. This is not just a church releasing us. This is the voice of authority that is releasing us. You see, he has to release you even from the guilt of sin. Amen. To find out this morning, there will not be any more Calvaries. There will not be another Calvary. There will never be another Calvary to the Church of the Living God. Amen. There is only one time that Jesus Christ dies. There is only one time that the blood is shed. This morning, amen, no matter how bad you would like it to happen, amen, to make you feel better about whatever it is in your life, there will not be a cross here this morning. There will not be a Lord Jesus hanging on that cross with the mockery spit on his face. He will not hang here with a crown of thorns. He will not have nails in his hand. You will not hear the voice of many mockers crying, crucify him. You will not hear the voices of all of the sisters crying as they look upon the master as he's dying. You won't see Peter hiding in the corner looking at Calvary. That's not where we are this morning. The prophet of God said he cannot die for your sins this morning because that's already finished. He said he cannot heal you this morning. That's already finished. You know, if Jesus Christ was standing in this building this morning in his physical body, he could not heal you. The prophet of God said he has already healed you. He has already saved you. The work of Calvary made it a finished work. He said the only thing that is done this morning is there must be the preaching of the gospel of what has been done for you. And by faith, when you receive it, it brings you under the blood veil of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then by faith you're saved this morning. amen, than by faith that you're brought into God. By faith you're redeemed unto the Lord. By faith you're saved this morning. Then it has to be by faith. And that faith comes to you by the preaching of the Word of God. If faith is our victory, and if victory comes from the preaching, amen, then we are to have the greatest victory of any age in the day that we're living in. In every other time, in every other age, men have preached the gospel under the realm of tradition. And as good as they preached, as bad as they wanted it to be, they had the tradition of the church that was blocking them off from a portion of the word that belonged to the church. But in this generation, there has been an unveiling, there has been a revealing, there has been a flawless manifestation that has brought a ministry, a fivefold ministry, under the presence of a perfect word, that they might preach a perfect presence by a perfect pardon to the church that's been left. If the preaching of the word brings faith, our faith ought to be in such a place this morning that it would be restored to the original faith that was once delivered. To think this morning, what a time to live in. What an hour, amen, when the preaching of the message will bring us out of our tradition and bring us into the true atonement of the word. You recognize there's not another Calvary. There's not another Calvary. There's a going back to Calvary. Amen. We was in it last night, just a moment, when we spoke of how that out of the white horse rider rode out in the first seal. It was a white horse. Amen. Defeated devil. He's a lion spirit. He has no arrows in his bow. He's already broken at Calvary. But he switches horses to a red horse. And then he gets on a black horse. And then he gets on a pale horse. And he goes back all the way to death. Seemingly, we need another Calvary. But there won't be another Calvary. But God said when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise a standard against that enemy. So God had anointings on the earth to combat the enemy in every ride that he had. But in the last age, he did not give us an earthbound anointing. But in the last age, he gave us a heavenly bound anointing, because he had to raise the church above what the world was looking at, that we could see Calvary again, that we could see the resurrection again, without the ideas that man had put on it. So the message has restored us back to what God intended Calvary to do for you and I. Oh, glory to God. What is it the prophet of God said? Do you see, amen, that in the scriptures we find that there was to be a feast of trumpets. There was seven trumpets, and you all know that the trumpets doesn't apply to the bride. You know that that's what calls national Israel back to their homeland. Is that right? What calls national Israel back to their homeland. So they come in by the trumpets. They come into their homeland. Amen. Do you know why they go to their homeland? It's because they are Israelites. Amen. Why didn't the Russians go to Israel? Because they wasn't Israelites. But the Israelites that were in Russia went to Israel. Why didn't the Italians move to Israel? Because they wasn't Jews. They wasn't of that original. But those Israelites that were in Italy, when the persecution came, they went to the land of Israel because they were Israelites. So the pressure put them in the place they belonged that God had made them in. The trumpets called them to their homeland. Is that right? Think about it this morning. But the prophet of God said, but we don't have trumpets. We have the opening of the seals, and those seals are calling us into our homeland. As those seals begin to open, they were calling that bride to come in their homeland. Why didn't some of your friends come? Amen. Why didn't all of the Baptists come? Why didn't all of the Romans come? Why didn't all the Presbyterians come? Because they wasn't one of those seeds that were to be called into a perfect manifestation. But there was something about you that you came when you heard the call. There's a reason, because that there was a seed in you before the foundation of the world. I like how the prophet of God said, we had representation. We had a seed in us that was represented in God. to think about it this morning. You said, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? I believe you couldn't come. Amen. You're not going to hear this call unless there was a theophany. Amen. That represents you and I. Amen. But that word connects you to a theophonic call this morning. Oh, Church of the Living God, think about this. There is a reality that there is a strange pull on you this morning to go to another land, to go to another place, to feel a rapture in your body. What is that strange call? It is another body standing in the presence of God that is calling you out of this dimension into the next dimension. When you've heard the Word of God and you recognize it to be eagle food, you heard from your theophany. So this message is the only thing that can connect you to another dimension. Oh, glory to God. Then don't take the message away from me. Amen. You see why then the devil is criticizing this message? You see why he's attacking this message so strong? It's because it's the only thing that will tell you where you were in the beginning. And if you were in God to begin with, then you can go back to God in the end. But if you wasn't there to start with, how do you go back where you wasn't? But there was a bride this morning. I was in Him from the foundation of the world. And that same bride will return to Him. Called to Him. We're called to Him this morning. We're called to Him this morning by the grace of God. To think, amen, that there is a seventh angel's message that's calling us out of Pentecostal tradition. Amen. It's calling us out. Now, why did you feel the pull? Why did you feel the call? Amen. Y'all forgive me, but I believe it's a theophonic call. Amen. I believe that there is a reason that you felt the call and others didn't. I believe there's a reason you believe it and others don't. It's because the seventh angel's message, amen, would be that thing that would call the people, the bride, out of Pentecostal world tradition and call them back to the genuine atonement, which is the Word. So this message is calling you back to the Word. You see how far the devil can go without the Word. But when the Word comes, the devil loses his power. There won't be another Calvary, but there will be an exposure of the plans the devil had, and that exposure will cause the devil to fall and cause the bride to rise. You remember the Brother Bram tell us about a fellow that had a dream, and he watched that devil that was a little bitty thing, how much bigger he got when the man backed up. Y'all remember? And the devil hollered at him, boo, and the man took a step back, and we seen the devil switch from a white horse to a red one. And they said, boo, and the man walked back, and the red horse went to a black one, and he hollered, boo, and he backed up, and it went to a pale horse. It was so big it would just swallow the man. But the fella said, by the time the devil got big in front of him, he was in a corner. He was at the end. There was no other place for him to go. And he looked around for something to fight with until he seen the Word laying there. And when he saw the Word, he picked up that Word, and he said, boo, back, devil. Amen. And when he hollered boo by the Word, the devil got smaller and the devil got smaller and the devil got smaller. And I believe it's time for the Church of the Living God to pick up the Word of God and holler boo, devil. Amen. You say, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a bride that don't have guilt this morning. I'm talking about a bride that doesn't have to answer a question of sin this morning. But the answers have been given by the message of the hour. There's a Christ that is alive and resurrected among us today. You see, I believe that there is a genuine atonement calling us back. Amen. This is the time of the increase when the covenant is brought into its full strength. When the covenant is confirmed to the church. The prophet of God will tell us this. The covenant that is brought into its full strength. When the covenant will be confirmed with God. The church. The people that goes into this body here to be the bride. Will be exactly the same spirit that was upon Christ. Doing the same things. The same ministry. The same power. Will come together and be word by word the same. Confirming the covenant. Confirming the covenant. Y'all know what covenant I'm talking about. I'm talking about Abraham's covenant. I'm talking about the one when God put Abraham to sleep and then he divided the sacrifice. Y'all remember that? The Lord stepped between the sacrifice and there was a dead beast that was split and the Lord stood between them. Now what was God showing? She was showing Abraham that Abraham, you will not be able to perform this covenant. God has made a covenant with the church that they cannot perform. Do you see, God made sure you couldn't do what He was asking, because otherwise the church would go on without Him. If it was just church joining, look how well we've done that. If it was just church building, look how well we've done that. But God has made a covenant with the church that you cannot do without Him. So when you start trying to come into the realm of the supernatural, that's the place when men's hearts have to get right with God before the supernatural begins to move in the church of the living God. And when they begin to get their hearts right, they begin to get themselves out of the way, God Himself then can come and confirm the covenant that He made with them. This is the age of the confirmation of that covenant. I know many people think that it was just a Gentile or a Jewish covenant. Amen. But do you know God had in His mind a Gentile covenant when He made that with Abraham? Amen. Now we didn't know it till the book was open. And after the book was open, then the symbols become clear and we can look back in the scripture and see that our name was in the scripture when we see that Abraham went on the mountain with Isaac. When Abraham went on the mountain with Isaac in the third day, he took Isaac to bring him as a sacrifice on the altar. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've often wondered what the story would have been that Abraham would have told Isaac that made him so willingly give his life. The prophet of God said he put out his little fat hands and said he was led to the altar. He wasn't pushed. He wasn't beat to get on that altar. What must have Abraham told him? What must he have shared with him to cause Isaac to say, I will willingly lay down my life? Amen. I believe that Abraham shared and tied together all of the promises. That since Abraham's calling out all the way to the visiting of Melchizedek, the visiting of Elohim, how that his mother had him in old age and their body changes. Can you imagine when Abraham could tie the whole story together in one sermon? If Isaac would have been on the mountain at any other time, he would have had to got the angel's visitation as one subject. And then years later, he could have caught another subject on Elohim. Years later, he could have caught Melchizedek. Years later, he could have seen the body change. Amen. But because of the timing of the mountain, God had brought Isaac in at a time that Abraham could tell the whole story from the beginning till the end. And he could raise Isaac's faith to the place that it matched his father's faith. And he would say that if you lay down your life, God's going to raise you up again. To think he could be brought into that kind of faith by the tying together of the mysteries of God all at one time. So you see, then he would bring a victory upon him, showing him that this covenant God has made will not fail. Do you see, God is able to fulfill at this covenant that God would call and include him. You and I were actually there in that covenant. If you go right over there and see that God never did allow Abraham to slay Isaac. But in the very next verses, you will see that there was a ram tied in the bush. And that ram caught in the bush by his horn, amen, represented Christ. It was a created beast there. It was a created by the Word. And it was a ram. Brother Bam said, notice it wasn't a she, it was a he. He said, see, right there is Malachi 4. Right there is a restoration of faith. He said, because according to the Bible, that God would take a people for His name. Wouldn't take the church's name. It would take His manifested Word name. So He was showing right there that was to be a bride in the last days that would come under the time of the creation by the Word. And that would take on that name for themselves as an identity. To think that God would show that all the way back there. You said, Brother Wayne, I don't know if we were really in God's mind when He was doing that. I thought it was very funny when I started studying this area and I started looking at Abram and how that God gave Abraham a name change. He added two letters to his name. And he calls him from Abram to Abraham. He adds the H to his name. I thought it was so amazing he did the same thing for Sarah. And the prophet even draws it out and says, Graham was six letters, Abraham was seven letters. How that one was a man's number, the other was to the elect. And I thought, wow, wasn't that something? Whenever you go out here in the western United States and you see there's seven peaks out there. Amen. And they spell what? Branham with how many letters? With seven letters. Now, was them mountains out there before Abraham was on the earth? Amen. Showing that God already had a seven-letter messenger in his will before He had Abram on the earth. And He changed Abraham's name to represent that God was bringing in somebody at the time of the adoption. He would bring in somebody with a seven-lettered name that would bring the manifested life to the church of the living God. Oh, to think this morning you were on His mind all the way in the book of Genesis. But this covenant would not be confirmed until this generation, until this time. Do you see this is the age, according to the prophet of God and the opening of the seven seals in Revelation 10, that the Word would be born into full manifestation? This is when the Word would come into full manifestation. It would be vindicated by the Spirit of God in the full strength as it was when He was on the earth, manifested the same way, doing the same things as when He was on the earth. What is it? It's a time when the Word comes into full power again. According to the rising of the sun, the prophet of God said, he said there was an Old Testament type. He said that whenever there was a planted field, there was a time when that field come to maturity. They did not pick the whole field at one time. They went out and picked one seed in that field. And they would take one little sheaf of that mature grain. And they would carry that and wave it before the Lord. As a sheaf waving, that God's Word works. The same seed that was put in the ground has now come back to full power again. The same thing that went down has come back into its maturity again. And they would take that and wave that, showing. And when God accepted that as the same thing that went down has come back again, God would confirm that. And it would not only confirm that one sheaf, but it would confirm that there's an entire field out here that has come to the time of maturity. Oh, to thank God tonight or this morning that that was a type of Christ living out His life in a prophetic message in this end time. When William Branham was being waved as an immature son in this generation, it was only an announcement that there was an entire field of sons and daughters of God that was coming to the time of maturity. You said, Brother Wayne, why are you saying that this morning? Because I think it's time we recognize this is the age of maturity. This is a time for the church of the living God to recognize the power that has been installed upon their lives this morning. Amen. Then I think it's time, amen, to realize that a prophet of God said this is a time when the sheaf has been waved. He said that's what it is. He said, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's waved over the people. And for the first time they will come forth for the bright age. He said a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message. Amen. Watch what he says, that the Word has come back. For the first time, the bride's going to have a message. This bride's going to have a message. It's a message of faith, a message of purity, a message without denomination, a message without tradition. It will be the bride. We'll have the pure Word again. Oh, brother, to think this morning that this Word, amen, by tradition, they tried to seal this Word off from the people. By tradition, they gave people the tradition. And literally, by trying to preach the truths of the Bible without the seals being opened, their labors became a tradition and a veil to the people rather than bringing them into manifestation. People that trying to teach the rapture without this message are literally sealing their people out of the rapture rather than bringing them in. They literally are teaching them how to go into tribulation rather than how to go in to the opening of the Word or into the rapture of the church. You say, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? I mean that there is a wall being built and anybody can continue that line. They can keep that Pentecostal line, but we come up to a corner somewhere when the Son of Man come down and said, get off of this trail because this avenue leads unto tribulation. But if you'll just follow me, here's the leader to the rapture, and here came the same one that walked with Enoch in the Bible has come down in this age to walk with the bride of Jesus Christ. To think that this one has come for our leadership, then I find out that this message has come to take off the tradition. It's come to remove the veils that mankind has put upon this Word. And this Word coming into plain view must be manifested in its power. Let me just say it like this. I believe this message has more than justification power. Can you imagine whenever in Romans chapter 5 when that struck Martin Luther? And there he stood in the middle of that Roman church and all the ideas of how to be justified. When that light struck him in Romans 5. The justification by faith. Hey man, a man has peace with God. Then it ain't my works, it ain't my abilities, it ain't what I can do. It's when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, He justified me by His resurrection. Brother, I'll tell you what, Martin Luther took one scripture and turned over Europe with it. One scripture and he becomes such a hated man by all the Catholic religions. Amen. The people loved him, the church hated him. Because he was bringing liberty to them by the word of the Lord. Amen. But one scripture, John Wesley rose up, took a hold of it. Amen. They shall live by faith. And then he said, yes, but the word will sanctify you. So that man sitting there smoking a pipe, preaching justification. John Wesley come by and said, I know that's a part of the gospel, but it's increased from where you've been. There's more power in it right now than when Luther was preaching it. He'll say, just come on up to the altar and watch the Holy Ghost take that alcohol out. Watch the Holy Ghost obliterate that tobacco spirit out of your life. He knew there was power in the priest's word to sanctify the believer. And with one little part of a scripture, he started a revival that struck the whole world. He built churches and everything else about him, and it became an entire religion today. Him Pentecostal struck just a little verse of scripture in Acts 2, Acts 2 and 4, Acts 2, 38, Acts chapter 4. They caught them little scriptures there. They started a worldwide revival. They just beat the walls and tambourines and street corners. Fell into every kind of revival you could think about it. Amen. But listen, friend. Amen. The word has more power than that this morning. The word has more power in it than that this morning. You see, they did that on scripture. Maybe one, two scriptures is where the real thrust of their lives were given. I started looking at that one day and I thought, isn't that amazing? Amen, that they had those scriptures. And I started looking at 1 John 5. I started looking at 1 John 3. And then I looked at John chapter 3. I looked at John chapter 1. Then I said, wow, Luke 17, Matthew 24. Oh, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 8, oh, Revelation 6. Oh, Revelation 18, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, Revelation 22. I started looking and said, wow, Genesis 3, Genesis 15, Genesis 12. Oh my goodness, if them men could do that off a couple of scriptures, you and I have got the entire Bible this morning to take a hold of and to drive out every devil. Every power that exalts itself against God. You say, Brother Wayne, what's the matter with you this morning? I don't believe that one devil has a power this morning. I don't believe one enemy has a right this morning to hold any son or daughter of God hostage by their guilt, by their pain, by their past, by their ideas. But there has been a message that has come from God. We are free this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost in the age we're living in. Freedom has come to the church of the living God by the preaching of the message of the hour. Sanctification won't do it. Sanctification won't do it this morning. Just justification won't do it this morning. Preaching restoration of the gifts won't do it this morning. But there is a Bible that has been opened this morning that has a type of you in every verse of Scripture. You're in the same word Christ was in. There's something with us this morning. Amen. That is a delivering power by the preaching of this message, by the preaching of this word. You see why the devil is so against this message. It has more power than Pentecost. It has more power than Luther. It has more power than Methodist. Let me just say it how Brother Branham says it. He said, God hates a powerless religion. God hates a powerless religion. And when man takes the word and makes a tradition out of it, God hates that. Come on now. They made a tradition out of Methodist. They made a tradition out of Lutheran. And they're doing their best to make a tradition out of this. Amen. And God said, I hate a powerless religion. religion. Tradition makes a powerless religion. But the Word makes a powerful church of the living God. One that He can come into. God hates a powerless religion. God hates a powerless religion. You see, the prophet of God said if they would zero on the Word and hit that target, the Word would come back. He said, you see, He said God wants to work in His church. He said, you see, God is trying to perform in His church. God wants to perform by the power of the blood to get the Christians born again. Now watch, God wants to work in His church. That's His desire. Now you all go back in the scripture and you read two places in the Bible that prophet God said He Himself had a little trouble with. You go back and read how that in the time of Israel, when Moses stood there and Israel was going to be rebuked of God and not be able to go over, that God raised up and asked the Lord, don't destroy him, Lord. Don't destroy him. Brother Bam said, I wondered how could Moses have a better idea than God. He said, I wondered how in the world. He said, till one day I realized that that was Christ talking out of Moses. That was Christ talking out of Moses. He was working in the voice of a prophet. Do you see Brother Bram stands here and he takes Mark chapter 11 and said, I was sitting out in the woods one day praying about Mark 11. Do y'all know Mark 11 had never been fulfilled? Even the men that walked with Jesus that heard Jesus instituted to the church whatsoever thing you say. If you say unto this mountain, be thou moved, cast up and plucked in the sea, it shall be done even as you have said. Do you know that scripture had never been fulfilled? In all of the history of the church, it had never been, there was no understanding on it. People didn't understand what it meant. Even a prophet himself sat out in the woods praying about it when he was squirrel hunting and an angel come down and asked him, what are you thinking about? He said, I'm thinking about that scripture in Mark chapter 11. He said, what are you thinking about it? It's true just like all the others are. He said, I had a mind. I didn't know how could that be. How could you say something and it happened? He says, and then I saw that it couldn't be you. He said that God had to make a way that He could speak through the man. Do you see people say, well, how do I know when it's God? It'll happen. If you go around saying things and they don't happen, then it wasn't God doing the speaking. But if it's God doing the speaking, you talk to the mountain will move. When a prophet of God used that, he didn't go out and do it himself. He was sitting there when the inspiration came. Brother Bram didn't even have an idea what that scripture really meant, let alone exercise it. But it was time to be manifested. So God did something. He led the prophet into manifestation. Brother Bram didn't get up one morning and said, I'm going to manifest that scripture. But because it was time to manifest, God led him to believe something. You see, why did Brother Branham wave that over the church? He's leading you to believe something. He's creating something in you you wouldn't even thought about had He not preached it to you. I believe in theophanies because He preached them. I believe in heaven because I heard Him preach about going there. I believe in angels. I believe in these things because He led me to believe these things. Now, isn't it amazing when that prophet stands there and then he's standing there and Brother Bam says, he said to me, he said, well, I'm still the creator. He said, if you say whatsoever thing you say, go ahead and say it. Brother Bam said, he told me to speak them squirrels. And you remember three straight times right there at that time. Later he did it more. But he's sitting right there and he said, I spoke, let there be. Now, if you go back and you study that, you'll find out Brother Branham don't use the words in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say in the name of Jesus, let there be some squirrels. He doesn't even say, thus saith the Lord. But the prophet of God, he says, now let there be a squirrel here, and let there be one here, and let there be one here. What's actually happening is he's displaying the same thing that happened on the day of creation. The same one that created the squirrels to begin with had moved down into a human body. Come on, can you believe with me this morning that God could so forgive a man his birth, his past, his failures, his life, that He could take the blood of His own Son and dismiss his first birth, and the great Creator of heaven and earth could literally step into a human body and so possess that body that He could use His lips to speak a creation. And He created squirrels. Now you all know the story, so I'll not take a long time here. But He created them squirrels. Now why didn't He leave them stories in the woods like He did many? Why didn't he just leave that right there? Because it had to be waved over the people. It had to be waved over the people. And here the prophet of God comes back and waves it over a little house with a bunch of people sitting around. Now y'all remember the story, and I know there's a couple different levels of this, and I don't have time to preach it. I know y'all's well taught. Brother Donnie's went through it many times. I just want to catch this out of here. Amen. It's the second time Brother Ram creates them squirrels that he tells the story to Hattie Rye. And you remember that a man sitting there was saying that if Brother Ram don't go out and find the next squirrel, that he lied to us on it. Remember, he challenges the prophet. He can't find the seventh squirrel, or he lied. And he goes out the next morning. He says that seventh squirrel laying there, he said this time it was dead. And he spoke it and created it. And there that dead one was under the stump. He comes back and brings that squirrel and he tells the story. And little Hattie Wright sitting there. And Hattie Wright says to Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, she says now, she says, how did that happen, Brother Branham? Amen. Or, you know, what's that about? And Brother Branham said, Hattie, the only thing I know to tell you is that the same Jehovah Jireh that was back there with Abraham was the same one that was out there in the woods with me. Now look what he said, the same Jehovah Jireh. He was the same one that was in them woods with him. Now, you know the story. You know that little Hattie Wright had two boys over there, and them boys was laughing at what the prophet just said. Now, to any of us, those are blasphemous words. That is a blasphemous action. The problem is we never know when God counts it and when He don't. Because whether y'all recognize this or not, there is a difference between God's elect seed and whosoever will. And the greatest difference is that the sin cannot be attributed to that elect seed. It cannot be counted to them. Their names are already written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And there they said in that blasphemous action, but watch what the prophet of God done. He created a situation to allow faith to take them out of what they were in and redeem them though they were in that place they were in. Look at what he done to get them out of it. He showed them the breaking of the word. Y'all know what the prophet done? He broke a word that had never been broke. He manifested and told us about it. Now, if you take that into our scientific world, knowledge shall increase in the last days. What's that about? We see it's an atomic age, right? Atomic energy come from where? 1933s. They began with a hypotenuse that these things could happen. It was just an idea in somebody's mind. But Albert Einstein was a gift from God, a mind that come into the earth. And this man began to imagine these things and believe these things could be done. You know what Albert Einstein done? He changed the way we view the universe. You view the universe the way you do right now because of a man named Albert Einstein. By his insight and revelation, he brought the whole world into a higher understanding and a knowledge of life. He was able to lead the world into the first breaking of an atom. Now look at what happens when an atom is broke. It releases what is called a fission. Now I'm not trying to be a science teacher, but there's a fission. And what that means is it's the first time that atom bombs were set off. It was a fission bomb. Then they would divide an atom, and the dividing of an atom would release a power. So a power would come. Whenever you break an atom, unseen world, break an atom, a power comes out of that. Amen. But whenever that Albert Einstein broke that, the power he released was a nuclear energy, an atom energy, that was 10 times or better stronger than the best TNT that you have. His knowledge brought an increase in the power that was known to mankind. Then he introduced that. One man introduced that to the age. And when he introduced that, you know what they did? They have moved from the word fission to the word fusion. Now you all know what fusion is. Fusion is an explosion that happens when you bring two atoms together. Do you know it takes more power to bring two atoms together than to divide them? Now you watch what this is happening in the natural world. Right now the strongest bombs in the world are fusion bombs. But they're like dynamite. You can't just set one off. You take a stick of dynamite and it's almost powerless by itself. But you put a cap in that dynamite, and that dynamite will set off a small explosion. And then, poof, you got a big explosion. But it's set off by something, and then that which is secondary is greater than the first explosion. Do you see? A fission bomb, the dividing, becomes the accelerator of fusion bombs. So two atoms cannot join together by themselves. They have to be forced together by power. There has to be a union by power. It has to be something to make them merge together. And when they come together, it causes a huge explosion. Look at what happened in that room that day when a prophet by vision divided Mark 11. And he preached that Mark 11 as a divided word. He opened it up to the church. And little Hattie Wright was sitting there. She was not one with that scripture. She was not one with that promise of her day. But when that was told her, there was something rattled in her soul that brought her in union with that scripture. And when it did, Brother Branham said, for the first time, the third pull come and was used on humanity. So the power went from squirrels to humanity when the bride come into union with a promise. Oh, it's one thing for this message to preach it. It's another thing for you to believe it. There is no greater power on the face of the earth than when this bride believes this message. Oh, that's what's going on today. That's why the world is shaking the way it's shaking right now. That's why there's revival fires in every corner. That's why the messages that are coming are stronger and more powerful than they've ever been. You would think with all the criticism that our churches would be getting smaller, but they're getting bigger. You would think with all the criticism that our believers would have less faith now than they had years ago, but I found out they have more right now than they've ever had. What's going on? Because men of God, amen, has declared this message stronger than they've ever declared it in their lives. We don't care what nobody thinks anymore. We don't care if they think we're Pentecostal, emotional. We don't care if they think we're fanatical. Amen. If a prophet of God said it and he preached it, I believe it and I preach it with all of my heart. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of what God has done in my life. You say, Brother Wayne, you're different. Thank God I'm different than this world. Thank God that there's a message this morning that has made a difference between me and this world. You see what happened that morning when that little girl said, I believe that, Brother Branham. An explosion happened in that room. When the prophet of God said there was a greater power in that room right then, he said then when 30,000 people came to Christ in one altar call, he said the power was greater in that room that morning than it was at that altar call. People said, Brother Wayne, I wonder, is the anointing here today like it was in the 50s or the 60s? Let me tell you something. When you get a group of people in this message, believe this word, this anointing is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. I've watched this message create faith and power in churches until there wasn't one devil could stand in that church. There wasn't one devil that could hold you in that presence. You know what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about when you come into church and you had a rough night or you had a rough morning and you had people that's against you or some situation in your life, and you come in the house of God, amen, you feel that little unbelief barrier somebody brought in with them because of some little something they didn't correct or something they got against somebody, some daddy's mad at somebody else's mama, and you know how that goes, and that little feeling comes in the church, and it kind of, but song leaders know all about it, and it kind of comes in there and you come in the house of God and you can't hardly get your hand up. You know what I'm talking about? Because your hand's just heavy, you don't know why, but there's like a little force in the room where you just don't really feel, it's just not a freedom to do it that morning. Amen. Your amens are a little slow because some little, just a little resistance that's on you. Amen. You don't jump up to your feet like you normally would. What's going on? There's just something settling on the church. There's a little feeling that's laying there. Amen. But if a believer can only believe that this message has the power and they keep preaching this message and keep preaching this message, you know what begins to happen? The spirits begin to be forced out. Because the preaching of the gospel is the casting out of demons. And while the demons are backing up, the believers begin to gain power. And as those powerful believers begin to join their heart one to another, after a little while, one fireling burns into another fire, burns into another fire, burns into another fire, until after a little while, the thing begins to vibrate in the power of God. Every devil is defeated. Every sickness begins to take a back seat. Things that used to matter don't matter anymore. What is it? It's the presence of God that begins to part in the church. Guilt begins to leave. Ideas begin to change. Your mind begins to be settled. Peace starts coming in. What is it? There's a power that has made itself known among us this morning. I'll tell you, it's the same Lord Jesus that was on the earth 2,000 years ago. He is not dead. He is alive this morning. We have more evidence of Him this morning than they did back then. You recognize, amen, what happened to this little girl, Haiti, right? She agreed with the Word. She agreed with the Word. You say, Brother Wayne, I didn't imagine agreeing that meant that much. When that girl began to agree with the Word, a fusion took place. A marriage took place. There ain't no girl sitting in here that in some shape, form, or fashion did not agree to be your wife. If she's a wife this morning, she agreed to it, or she's not a wife. When the preacher looked over you and said, do you take this man to be your loving husband? Do you take him to be lawfully wed to you? She had to make an acknowledgement of that, or she is never married. In some way, whatever way she does it. If she threw up her hand, if she nodded her head, if she said something with her mouth. But I'll tell you what Hattie Wright done that day. She said, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. And when she said those words, she released an anointing in the room. You recognize this morning God has ordained you to speak those words. It's nothing but the truth. May I say it with all of my heart this morning. The message is nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth. You said, Brother Wayne, what's wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong. They believe it's the truth. They're so tired of being pushed against. Critics are pushing back this way, pushing back this way. But it's time for the bride to press back a little bit. It's time for us to push back and say, I believe it's the truth. I believe it's from God. This is my age. It's my anointing. It's my time. This is our generation. You recognize that more than 30,000 raw natives coming to Christ at one time, that agreement of that one woman with this message. I didn't quote if you want it, my new ministry. The prophet of God says it's the most glorious time human beings could ever live. That's right, too deep even for my mind. He said my heart can't even contain it. Man, he said, look, he said, on this anointing, he said, I'm going westward with it. I'm going on the field with it. I'm going everywhere with it. What was it? It was an anointing. He knew it was the time to do it. You think of this. If you catch that God's in something, that's when you do it. You go back and you read the Bible. You see how mighty warrior David was. It was a mighty warrior. But when the Philistines come, Brother Louis, David didn't get up and go down there and beat them Philistines. You know what David did? He was a smart leader. He went over and prayed about it. He said, Lord, I know I beat these Philistines. I know I've tore up Goliath. I know you've used me this way many times, but I'll not go in the battle by myself, Lord. And he went over and prayed and said, Lord, what am I to do? He said, David, you sit right down here and watch them mulberry trees right there. I can imagine when he walked out there and told everybody, here's the battle plan. Okay, boys, here it is. I have got a battle plan from the great general. This is it. What is it, David? You want us to bring the army from this quarter? And we can sneak some guys back over here. And when they move this way, we'll move this way. The greatest minds in the world with them generals of that Israel army. David said, no, boys. He said, actually, he said, our action this morning is to do nothing. He said, we're just going to watch the trees for a moment. Our action's nothing this morning. We're just going to watch the trees. I'll tell you what's the matter with Brother Donnie. I'll tell you what, man. Has he lost his anointing? Why hasn't he come against that thing? Why ain't he? What's the matter with him? Maybe he's watching the tree. You know, Brother Ram said David sat there till that tree started shaking. And when that tree started shaking, he said, all of a sudden, David rose up and said, all right, everybody, into the battle. Do you know why he did that? Brother Branham said this. He said, there was a whole host of angels that just left heaven. He said, and David couldn't see them with his natural eye. So God had them watching that tree. And when the wind hit the tree, David could see the angels has come to the battle. He said, so when David headed down into the battle, the angels was already in front of him. He said he couldn't see them, but God had sent them. So David could go down there and act like he was the biggest preacher around because the angels was already there. He could go down there and kick devil after devil. He could knock them down, people bigger than him, things, all kinds of things happen. He could just pull a sword out and shake them up and tremble. You know what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about some of you young people sitting here that you don't think you're nobody and you don't think you can do anything. Let me tell you something. The angels are in the battle this morning. The power of God is in the battle this morning. As some of you sisters don't believe there's any power in you, but the angels in the battle for you this morning. You might have fought something your whole life. You might have been plagued with something your whole life. Been sitting on you, pulling on you. You hadn't never known how to do it. You ain't had the power to get over it. Let me tell you this morning, there's angels that have moved into this battle. We are in a special time right now. If you're ever wanted rid of a spirit, this is a time to get rid of it. If you've ever wanted to walk free, this is a time to walk free. If you've ever wanted to know the truth, this is the time for the truth. There is angels fighting this morning, fighting a battle for you. They're calling out the devil that you might have liberty this morning. It's time for the church of the living God to enter that battle. You see, I find out many times we don't recognize this. Amen. But God will do the same thing for you that He done for Hattie Wright. I'm reading an exact quote. He said, God is not a respecter of person. He will do the same thing for you that He done for Hattie Wright. You know why? Because you're living in the time that it's being manifested. This was not happening in other days, but it's in the day we're living in. Why do I claim my children? Brother Branham told me to. I wouldn't have done that had a prophet not said to do it, but a prophet said to do it. So I'm in the battle where the angels are fighting for me. Oh, this morning, I'll tell you, you may be looking at a dark picture with your children, but I want to condemn that demon this morning of unbelief. What are you looking at anyhow? Are you looking at their failures? Are you looking at every mistake they have? And you're trying to make judgments by what your eyes are seeing? I think you ought to turn your back to what you're looking at and look at the tree this morning. Look at the promise this morning. Look at the presence of God this morning and say, I believe God's going to do something in this. Brother Wayne, have you seen my kids? No, I don't have to see your kids. I see the promise that's made for your kids. Don't give up on it. Don't let go of it. It's your promise. Oh, the devil hates that, but God's children loves it. So, Brother Wayne, you're trying to get us out here in some false hope. I'm not. No, sir. But my Bible said the angels are ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. Then that means every time God wanted to lead the church into supernatural, angels come on the scene. And angels told Mary, you're going to have a child. I know you don't know anybody. You never know a man, but God's going to give you a baby. Angel said, who me? Mary said, who me? You led her to believe she could have a virgin birth. Led Abraham to believe that he could have a child in his old age. Come on, church. Every time these angels start appearing, it's in the time of supernatural. And there's been one that made us believe that we can claim our children and we can push the devils of hell back with our spoken word. We have been led to believe that we can speak the word and squirrels couldn't exist. We have been made to believe that there is power in the bride of Jesus Christ today. We have been led and created a faith on the inside of us that we will not hold still. We will not stand still. We will not sit down with our mouths shut and let the world take these promises from us. It's our turn to speak. It's our turn to talk. The devil is talked and the devil is accused and the devil is ridiculed. But there has come another power. I heard the voice say, it's time for you to say. It's time for you to speak. This is your generation. Come on. Luther had his say. Martin had his say. Amen. Wesley had his say. Pentecost had their say. What do you say? I'm afraid to talk, Brother Wayne. People just don't believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you, people don't believe a lot of things. That's the reason people are in the mess they're in right now. But there is a bride on the earth today that is a word bride. The ministering spirits have led them. There was a ministering spirit in the room to make Hattie Wright believe that if I call for the life of them two kids, God's going to give them to me. Now, there's a mystery in that. Them kids' names was on the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you recognize this? That Brother Branham tells us that angels begin to walk into the room. Hey, man, can I just preach on angels just for a minute here? People all time, people, they, see, Einstein changed the way we view the universe. William Branham changed the way we view church. Do you know, we can't see other dimensions, can we? Once in a while, once in every great while, you'll get a little glimpse of something. And it'll empower you to no end because you just caught a glimpse of something supernatural just for a second. But most generally, we don't see what's happening in the supernatural world. We feel it in our body. We feel the inspiration, the visitation of it. But you know, Brother Bram said, what happens is, he said, do you see, like if you stepped outside and you never seen the world, your eyes was blind, you stepped outside and you felt the heat of the sunlight. He said, when that sunlight struck your body, you would know that something has changed. He said, now what you would have to do is turn to somebody that had sight and say, what is that feeling on me? What's that warmth that I'm feeling right now? Somebody with sight would say, that's the sunlight that you've stepped into. So the next time that you're hit the church and you come out blindly and you stepped outside and you felt that warm presence, you'd say, oh, that's the sun. How do you know that's the sun? Oh, a man with eyes told me the other day that that's the sun. And Brother Bram said, do you see, we can't see these supernatural things. He says, but let me tell you, he says, these people that's hollering and shouting and dancing, he said, all these things that's happening in the church, he said, this strange feeling that's coming over you, he said, what is it, Brother Branham? He said, they're bumping into angels. Amen. Do you recognize that angels come right down in the church to charge you with the presence of God? Amen. I'm not going to go out on a limb, but let me just say it like this. What if it was your guardian angel? What if you were bumping into something like, do you know the prophet of God taught this is the negative and that's the positive? Amen. Do you recognize them two coming together, what they will do? They'll cause something to happen on the inside of you. I was preaching a meeting one time. A lady got up and started running down the aisle, shouting, dancing. She come to me later. She said, Brother Wayne, she said, I don't know what happened to me. She said, right in the middle of that service, I don't usually act like that. She said, but it just overcome me. I don't know what happened to me. I said, sister, I'm going to give you a new word. I think you were theophanizing. She said, what are you talking about? I said, I think that the word becomes so real to you that the negative become positive and the positive become negative and them two pulled together strong enough to quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. I believe that there's coming an hour when the church is going to fully theophanize and it won't just be a temporary moment of charge in our lives, but there'll be a complete anointing sweep over you and change you in the moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Amen. You know what angels will lead you to do? It'll lead you to worship. Amen. I was listening to a tape, God in Simplicity, 1963, after the seals. Brother Bram's leading people to how to receive the Holy Ghost. In the middle of that tape, there's a lady kneeling at the altar, and she throws up her hands. And when she does, Brother Branham says to Demas Shakarian, he said, Brother Demas, did you see that woman throw her hands up right there? He said, yeah, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, the reason she done that was the pillar of fire passed over her head, and she was responding to it. Now, the woman couldn't see that pillar of fire, but a man with sight was telling us that when that inspiration comes by and you threw up them hands, that's not just emotion. That's the pillar of fire passing over the room. And when he passes over the room, there's something on the inside of you that responds back to it. It's the influence of angelic beings that are pulling you into a worship. Glory, I feel it right now. Amen. You what are you talking? I feel a worship of God that there has to be somewhere somebody will say, I'm so sick of this world. I'm so sick of the bondage of this age and this time. I'm ready for some liberty in my heart. Let the freedom of God come on our lives. Brother Ed Hunter was in Brother Bam's meetings proving his word. I believe it's 1964. He told me, he said, Brother Wayne, I was sitting there. He said, I would come into the meetings. And he said, I really didn't want anybody to know it, but I had hemorrhoids. He said, I'd heard Brother Branham preach. He said, I knew I believed Brother Branham. He said, he come by and preached a message called Three Kinds of Believers. He said, ever since I'd heard that message, he said, I knew I was a believer. I wondered what kind I was. He said, and I was sitting there that morning. He said, Brother Branham was having a prayer line. He said, there was a presence that come down over top of me. He said, and when that presence began to move over me, he said, I began to lose where I was. He said, the next thing I knew, he said, I'd been about a half hour worshiping the Lord. He said, I forgot Brother Branham was in the building. I forgot the prayer line was going on. He said, I just had a worship happen. He said, I didn't know what was happening to me. He said, then William Branham, he said to me, you big man standing there. He said, you finally did it, didn't you? He said, the angel of the Lord has been standing next to that man for the last half hour. I said, what did it feel like, Brother Wayne? He said, only the feeling was to worship Jesus Christ. He said, it was an overwhelming feeling to give my praise to Almighty God. Listen, those angels have been worshiping God for millions of years. If they ever get in your presence, you're going to feel like worshiping God. You're going to feel like shouting, dancing, Holy Ghost revivals, because you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Come on, church, I'm not a fanatic. I'm a message believer. I believe we are free this morning. We are free from the bondage of the traditions of man. If we're in a cage this morning, it's man built. If you're in a cage this morning, some man put that on you. But sons and daughters of God this morning have been liberated by the preached word of this hour. We are free. We are free to worship. We are free to live. We are free to be here this morning. Hallelujah. We won't have time to finish, but I'm going to preach to you a few minutes. This will never decrease. This will never go down. What you're experiencing is only going to get greater. What you're coming into is not going to decrease on you. We are not going backwards. The churches are not falling. People are not leaving the message. Things, you say, well, what are you looking at? You're looking at the world. I'm looking at the bride. She's getting stronger. She's getting more powerful. She's getting more determined than she's ever been. The Bible said the government shall be upon her shoulder. He said, and of the increase there will be no end. That's a direct prophecy concerning you. You remember John the Baptist when he introduced Jesus? He said, I must decrease so he can increase. Isn't it amazing that William Branham uses the same language when he introduces Jesus Christ to this generation? He says, I'm going to decrease and he is going to increase. He didn't say he's leaving with me. He didn't say he's coming back sometime. He said, I'm introducing him here now, and he's going to get greater and greater and greater and greater and greater until our bodies cannot hold him anymore. This message is getting more real. Service by service, by book by book. We are possessing the land. It's getting greater and greater, 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 greater until there's an increase of the Son of Man in the church of the living God. Y'all know what I'm telling you is the truth. Some of you are old enough to remember when people wasn't even preaching the opening of the seventh seal. You're old enough to remember when Revelation 10 was only a scripture about the millennium. You're old enough to remember when the coming of the Lord but didn't even have the Son of Man involved in it. But what about now? Come on. Even dumb hillbillies can preach the revelation of the seventh seal. It's been made clear. It's been made open. The veil has been taken off. The church has been brought into the presence of God, and it has pardoned her. It has washed her and brought her back into her original state. There will be no decrease to this. It will be an increase because we have the answer to the devil's question. Do you see, this is the same Jesus actually in Mary. It's been married and he's now here in bride form. The prophet of God said, do you see what has happened? The word has now come down into the body. That's what's happened. That's the announcement of the age. The word has come down in the body. Now, I just want to introduce this and I'm going to get away from it, but you think of this just for a minute. How many of y'all know the Brother Bram said a knowledge had to move from your head to your heart? Has to move from the head to the heart, right? Until it moves from the head to the heart, there's no victory. And me and Brother Homer Longore was talking yesterday on the phone. He said, Brother Wayne, I have supreme knowledge of this message. I know every quote. He said, I talk with people. He said, I know. He said, I preach, which I know Brother Homer has preached probably every scripture on faith, every quote on faith. Man, the man is a faith-built man. He said, but Brother Wayne, I need some of it to just to drop down in inspiration.
That's what I need. He said, I just need inspiration to speak against this thing. So inspiration has to go from the head to the heart before it becomes victory. What God had in His mind was not victory till it come into His heart. What God had in His mind was not victory until it come into the church. See, having it in your mind is one thing. Having it in the body is another thing. If I said to you, I'm going to transplant the mind of Albert Einstein on some kid sitting out here. Amen. I'm going to put him, his head on this body. Amen. You'd say, well, that's a good idea. Good luck. But the knowledge of that headship in that body would make that body Albert Einstein. Amen. You see, but somebody has to be able to make a successful transfer of headship. Now, if the scientist would come up with a way to take a great mind and set it on a body, then a guy like this, what's this great philosopher now that sits in a wheelchair that has the Stephen Hawking? Can you imagine putting Stephen Hawking? They could take his mind and set it right on a good body. Amen. And look at how successful they would be. Amen. But you see that man's not able to do that. But then God said that the victory that He would experience would be when He successfully brought His mind down into the church. His victory is when the Word in His mind reaches into the church of the living God. That makes Him a victorious over His enemy. Can you imagine this morning? Let me see. You look like a big old fella. Won't you stand up right quick? Can you imagine this morning? Young man, can I borrow you? Can you come here just a moment? Now, come right up here with me. Come right up here. Come up here. Now, can you imagine if I take this little fella right here and I say, I bet $1 million that he can whip him. You'd say, "Huh? I'm putting my money on the big guy." Well, unless there was a secret you didn't know. Is that right? Let's just do like this. What would be if Muhammad Ali had a way to get into this little kid? A world-class fighter in this little boy. And he could get a hold of his hands. And he could possess his little legs. Then he could be able to take the biggest fella in this room just by the knowledge that he has of fighting. If he could just be so surrendered. He could say, duck, and he ducks. He could say, swing, and he swings. Little guy up here don't know what he's doing, but he's just surrendering. Thank you, young man. He's just surrendering. So Jesus Christ has said, my bride will completely defeat Satan in the end time. Then he put his reputation on you against the greatest enemy that he has ever had. But he knew something the devil didn't know. He said, I'm going to bypass their first birth and I'm going to dismiss their sin. Amen. To get down into their bodies and fight the end time battle as my own bride. And she will be so surrendered to me that I'll possess her lips. I'll possess her hands. I'll possess her mind. And when I get full control of her, it will be my day of victory. The devil don't know it, but he's already whipped. In 1963, the prophet of God said, God has now achieved the church. That what was in the mind of God is now in the body of the bride. It has already happened. The devil didn't know what was taking place. But a prophet announced it. Now the church is starting to wake up of what God did back under the message. And it's now getting stronger. It's getting more powerful. You're starting to recognize who that is in you. It's not just somebody. It's Christ Jesus the Lord. And He's there to defeat your enemy. But thank this morning. He has chosen you. He's chosen your vessel. He's chosen your time to be His victory. So may I say it this morning? I don't care what you're going through. You're victorious. Mr. Brother Wayne, I don't know. Listen, I don't care what you think about the battle. If you're a part of this body, you're victorious. Amen. It don't matter how it's looking right now. You're already victorious. You say, well, could it really be if you start looking at what God has done rather than what the church has done, you're going to see the victory is already in the church. the victory is already here. Then this is not a coming power. This is not a coming thing. This is only now realizing what has already been done in the bride of Jesus Christ. You see, then the prophet of God says, amen, when that same word moves down from the head and comes into the body, it vindicates they are one. Amen. When you see the first action, if you've done a surgery and put a head on a body, and you woke up the body, you said, did it work? The first vindication of whether it worked or not is when that finger starts moving. That scientist says, I've been successful. That toe starts moving. We're successful. There's movement in the body. The head is activating the extreme extent of the body. Oh, glory to God. That's why the prophet of God said, when the weakest Christian begins to pray, the devil is scared of that. Why is the devil scared? Even if the weakest Christian, well, brother, I'm the weakest guy, don't matter what I do. Even when the weakest Christian, when the most extreme extent of the body is still got movement in it, there has been a victory of the headship in the body. Even the weakest Christian has authority over the devil this morning. Ooh, brother. When a weakest Christian even falls to their knee and begins to pray, all hell begins to tremble. Because there's an authority on that child. There's a power that's there. What is it? There's something that is coming to their soul. Give me just a couple minutes and I'll close. There's something that's coming into that soul. There's something that they're realizing. They're catching the day that they're living. You know, the prophet of God said this day was likened unto when Abraham Lincoln climbed up on the president's throne. When he declared the slaves were free. It's a shameful part of our nation. Amen. But if we're Americans, it's a part of our identity. It's a shameful part. But when President Lincoln climbed up, now I know some historians, maybe I don't know how they believe this, but I'm going to preach it the way the prophet did. Brother Branham says it like this. He says that it was a proclamation that went out from the president that proclaimed that all slaves were free. That was an emancipation proclamation went out. Brother Bram said, you see, he said that day was so longed for. He said that even they were up on a mountain way before daylight. They knew the hour was approaching, so they climbed up on the mountain. Brother Bram said the strong ones got up there. Come on, they climbed up above that faith and temperance and knowledge and patience, and they got all the way up there. You see, what they needed to do was get beyond the slave field. They need to get beyond the slave huts and all the cotton and all of the troubles of the past and all the slave bells. They got up there where it was just a distant memory from where they were standing. They could see the horizon without any interruption. There was nothing between them and the cracking of that sun. And when they stood there as strong men and watched that horizon, the moment that the first bleep of sun began to peek over that horizon, you know what them men did? They turned around and made a declaration by what they saw. They screamed down into dark places. They screamed back down into dark places and said, "We're free." Can you imagine when that sound of freedom started down that mountain? Some people hadn't even been able to get all the way up. They just couldn't crawl all the way. But they could hear the sound of that voice. And they could hear the sound coming, "You're free! You're free! You're free!" And by the sound of that voice, they began to receive the breaking of the dawn. Now they were still in the darkness. They turned around. They said, "Everybody ought to hear this. Every child, every man, every woman, every person ought to hear this." And they turned around. Brother Joe, they started screaming down. And down there was slave huts that was laying there. There was men that had beat some of them girls. Maybe half the night through, they were laying bleeding on the front porch, laying in stains of their own blood, shackled up. Amen. Can you imagine even just the time that they were living, the mistreatment? Maybe they went even the night before, laying out there sobbing and crying in the darkness of what had happened to them. And all of a sudden, they hear a faint sound cracking the darkness, piercing through the asunder of their abuse and their slavery and the trials of their life. And somebody that wasn't looking at the slavery was looking at the sun, began to scream, "You're free! You're free! You're free!
I can imagine that little girl shook her head and said, how could it be? How could it be with these belts, with this pain, with this trouble? How could I be free? But when she began to believe, she began to believe, and all of a sudden freedom began to come on her heart and began to raise her up from the place she was, and she could begin to walk into freedom. I'll tell you this morning, this may be reaching you in a place of your life. You may be sitting here this morning with some things going on in your life that has nearly destroyed you. Sitting here hearing this message this morning in the deep, dire, even the things that happened yesterday, and you don't know how to deal with it. Listen, I want you to know this morning that the declaration of this message is freedom has come to the church of the living God. Freedom has come to us this morning. By the spoken word of God, it has come to us. An emancipation, a proclamation has come to the church and has brought forth a deliverance of the church. Do you see we've come to that time? Anointed for freedom. What was an anointed man is now an anointed people. Can you imagine when Samuel comes sneaking down to David's house? When he come down there with an anointing oil, he said, I'm going to sneak down to Jesse's house and find the next king. Brother Louis, he had it in his hand, but he just couldn't pour it on anybody. The Bible said he went through 7 sons of Jesse, and that prophet was willing to pour it on any age God would have let him pour it. But every time he said, I'll pour it on this one, God said, nope. I'll pour it on this one. Nope. I'll pour it on this one. Nope. What was he waiting for? The prophet of God said he could have given this revelation to any hour, but he was waiting for a people that would comprehend it. And when he come down to the end, he says, is this all that we have? Is this anointing got to stay in the Word? Is there anybody we can pour this on? Is there any church anywhere that can receive the Spirit and life anointing of the Word of God? Is there anything left? And finally somebody said, well, there's only one more out there in the field. Just a nobody, just a shepherd out there in the field. He's just a naughty boy out there. He plays with a slingshot. He's out there. And the prophet said, that's the one I'm looking for. Run and get him quick, and I'll stand right here till you go get him. And they went on the outside of the church to find him. And when they got out there and found that special one, they brought that David in. And remember what they done? They brought him right in front of the prophet. He broke the seal off of that. And he began to pour that oil on that man's head. Amen. Why didn't he pour that on any other time? Because they couldn't receive it. But when he began to pour that anointing oil on David, he was anointing the voice that would succeed Saul. Because Saul kept something for himself. Saul got ahead of the promises. Saul wanted to promote himself. And God said, I'll set Saul down and I will anoint me a new voice. And that bride will be the final voice to that final age with the anointing of a prophet upon her life. And he began to pour all that he had upon him, anointing that man for a certain job. That's exactly what this message has done. Do you see what it done? It changed you. When God anointed you, He brought you into what He made you to be in. Do you see, it was that same David one day. He was standing down there. And he seen that word coming into Jerusalem. That same David. He saw them bringing that word into Jerusalem. Friend, they were slaying oxen. There was blood everywhere. Everything was coming, and David saw. He saw that word coming into Jerusalem. And when he saw the reality of that word coming into that city, he couldn't take it no more. The word of God has come into the city. It was a natural word coming into a natural city. But what it represented, brother, what it represented was a new Jerusalem. It represented the word of the Lord coming into a new Jerusalem city. And when David saw what was happening, he couldn't take it. He just pulled his shirt off and got to dancing. Can you imagine a king of an entire nation dancing before his people?
What's wrong with that preacher acting like that anyhow? Brother Donnie, you're a pastor of a lot of people. And up there, you're up there dancing. Mercy, can't you behave yourself? People watching you on the internet and all over the world, preachers trying to learn from you, and you're up there dancing and trying to teach them all these things. How could somebody see the Word of God coming into this bride and not feel like dancing? How could you really see that the Word that's been in his mind has dropped into the heart? The Word in his mind has dropped into the body. It makes a victory come into the church of God. Brother Bram said he was sitting in a meeting one day. He said there was some girls come up and started singing a song. I think they were singing Meeting in the Air. He said they got to singing that song. He said, I was sitting over there in the seat of the scornful. I've been in that seat. Did you ever sit there? Horrible seat to sit in. The seat of the critic. He said, I wondered, did they even have manners? Did they even have any church manners? He said, they got to beating on them tambourines and got to singing that song. The next thing he knew, he said, they were dancing in my church. Women dancing right in the church. Coming right there where people pray. They were up there dancing in the spirit. I imagine they were screaming. Carrying on, snotting, hollering. I imagine their hair was a-falling. They had their hands up in the air. Probably had their eyes closed. They were screaming and shouting and running. And the prophet sitting there going, do they got any manners? He said, but after a little while, I got to thinking, where does dancing really come from? Where does it really come from? He said, I got to running the scripture on it. He said, I found out, wait a minute, dancing comes in the scripture when there was victory. When there was victory, that's when David danced. When he took victory over Goliath, the people danced. When he took the word of the Lord, the people danced. Brother Bram said, that's what Job was doing up there. They were shouting for joy. He said, when victory comes, that was when they began to dance. He said, the next thing I knew, I was up there dancing with them. Not William Branham. Oh, absolutely, William Branham. When he started realizing why they were dancing because they had victory. And the church today has got the victory of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, brother, the word has come down into the body. I was preaching, I was in a meeting one morning, Brother Donnie, and I was sitting right over like you are. At the end of the service, come up, and a sister got up out of the congregation and come up to the front. She had suffered with a stroke just a week or two before, and y'all seen people paralyzed by strokes. She had one arm pulled up like this and one leg like this. She got up and come down that middle aisle, and I watched her come all the way to the altar. And here she come right down through there, just like this. That sister had been out of church nearly 25 years. She's gone now, so I can tell the testimony. Would never told it, embarrassed her, but she had got out from the Lord. There had been a homosexual spirit got on her. She left her husband, left her kids, was gone in the world for 25 years. And God went out there and got her and brought her back. She fully repented of her sins and lived for the Lord for years before she passed away. But in the middle of that, after she come back to the Lord, wasn't 2 or 3 years later, Brother Donnie, she had that stroke. Now, I know in her mind, she was thinking that stroke was because of her lifestyle. I know that's what she was facing. So she didn't only have a stroke, she had a guilt on her mind that wouldn't allow her to believe for total healing. But she got up and come down there that morning, she's standing in front of him, she said, Brother Wayne, I know I don't deserve this. She said, but I believe God's promises I can have a healing. She said, would you pray and ask God to heal me? So I took the anointing oil. I anointed her and prayed over her. I said, sister, the only thing I can do now is tell you what the word says. The prophet of God said, he's a high priest of your confession. Now you go confess that this word is true. And you confess your healing. She said, Brother Wayne, my daughter is a nurse. She said, every time I confess a healing, she gets on to me. I said, sister, I don't mean this to be rude, but you don't worry about what your daughter says. I said, my Bible said, let every man's word be a lie, that the word of God be true. I said, don't you worry about nothing about what your daughter says. You go testify about your healing. Well, we left that morning. We come back that evening. Brother, she come right back down to that altar. I never forget the feeling when I seen her coming. Every preacher sitting in here knows what I'm talking about. When I seen her coming down that aisle, I thought in my mind, what can I do to help her? If I could have crawled, I would have helped. I would have done it. Whatever I could have done. But I knew there was nothing that I personally could do to help her. I had done all I could do was pray. So when she come back up there, I walked up to her and I was willing to pray again. I was ready. And I walked over to her and I said, Sister Dina, what would you like? What are you here for? She said, Brother Wayne, she said, I just wanted to come up here and testify that the Lord Jesus has healed my body. She reached up. She said, can I use the mic? I said, yes, sister, you can use my mic. I was preaching with a mic. I had to stand there with a mic just like this. And I stand there with that mic and I said, sure, you can use it. And I went to hand her that mic. And when I did, Brother Terry, that crippled hand reached out and got it. Right in front of these eyes, I seen that crippled hand reach out and get a hold of that mic. Brother Louis, I seen that crippled leg straighten out under her. You want to see dancing? I seen a woman that had been paralyzed by a stroke break out and stand there and dance right in front of me. I seen her dance all across the front of that building. Brother, it was the prettiest dance I ever saw in my life. Because God had took a paralyzed person and He put movement back in the limb. It was a victory for her. It was a victory for her body. And there had been a paralyzed church. We had been cut off from the things of God. But now the victory is in the body. There's life in the body. I see the movement right here this morning. It's in the power of God. Won't you stand to your feet with us this morning? I believe that there is movement in the body today. Victory in the house of God. You forgive me if I'm a little long. I believe this morning that there is a pardoning power. A release of guilt. I believe that there's something here this morning that can just completely take the guilt of sin from your life. You wanted to serve the Lord in its fullness. And you can't. Because something keeps you from it. I believe that can end right here this morning. I believe it'll leave you right here this morning. I believe you can accept something that it will increase your life. Donnie, I was down in Israel sitting on the Behuda street one day, and there's a young man playing a guitar up the road, and I was actually with a brother from Norway. I met him there and he was sitting there talking to me. I don't know how we just accidentally met in Israel, but it's an odd thing. But we're sitting there and I could hear a guy playing a song up the street, and he's just sitting on the street corner, redheaded fella, and he was just sitting there playing a song. He was saying, I can't get no satisfaction. Y'all ever hear that? It's an American rock and roll song. I can't get no satisfaction. And the more he played that, the more I just was drawn to him. After a little bit, I walked over where he was standing and he was playing. I sat down and started talking to him, man, and I said, Do you ever think about playing something for the glory of God? He said, well, he said, I tell you to be honest, he said, you know, he said, I've had a rough life. Well, I could see it on him. He had tattoos and his hair was pretty long. He looked like he'd been strung out on drugs. And so I sat and talked with him a minute. And as I started talking to him, I started discovering that he had been in a Christian home as a kid. Right there in Israel, his parents had been Christians. And his parents had divided and a thing had come into his home. And next thing you knew, he was out in the world. And he got to hang with the wrong buddies. And he got out in drugs. And he got out in this problem. He got separated from the Lord. And years later, here he's sitting right here on this street corner singing, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I thought it was amazing because we've been on the tour for a couple of days, and I don't know how many of you've been to Israel, but you go over there and you get on some of them tours and you walk up sometimes to a big old hole in the ground. And it's a big hole. They dig them. They just dig a big hole. I asked the guide there one day, I said, why are y'all digging in big holes? And she said, well, what it's about is, she said, if you look down there, she said, you'll see little levels in there. And I said, yeah. She said, that's actually kingdoms. And she said, every time that a kingdom is overtaken, she said that they'll knock down a lot of the buildings and they'll build on top of that. So it's like that kingdom never was, because nobody can see it. She said, then if somebody conquers that, then they'll knock that kingdom down and then they'll build on top of that. That's why they were so upset about the Muslims wanting to build a mosque on the 911 site. It's because that's the habit in that world. And she said, there's a lot of contention on who owns Israel. And she said, what we're trying to do is find out who's on the bottom. Because if we can dig deep enough to find out who's on the bottom, she said, then we know who originally owns the land. I said, that's pretty good. As I sat there with that boy that day, and just word by word, we went deeper and deeper. After a little while, he told me he used to be a Christian, but he had some failures in his life, and he had this happen, he had this happen. He said, brother, he said, I think that I've went beyond the place that I could be forgiven. I said, what makes you think that? He said, well, he said, because, you know, he said, I believe the Lord, and then I got out in this kind of thing that I'm in. I said, young man, I don't want to tear up your theology, but your theology's killing you. I said, if you ever was filled with the Holy Ghost, you couldn't be where you're sitting now. I said, you can believe on the Lord, and then you can backslide into this kind of condition. But I'm sorry, 10 or 12 years living in drugs and alcohol and all that kind of world, you never got there to start with. And the enemy had told him because he couldn't go back. And I said, that devil's lying to you. Do you have a desire to serve God? He said, brother, he said, I want to serve him so bad. And the deeper we dug, we found there was an original owner down there. There was a desire to serve God. Friend, listen, man didn't put that desire in you. If there's something in you this morning that wants to serve God, that come from Him. Amen. That come from Him this morning. Let's just bow our hearts and let's ask the Holy Spirit this morning. If you're here today and there's some kind of this guilt on your life, if some kind of situation is imprisoning your life, won't you just let the Holy Spirit dig deep in your soul this morning and find that desire? Maybe somebody here this morning that don't even know the Lord. You've been backslid on God and you say, Brother Wayne, I've got a desire to serve Him. I want to love Him this morning. I want to give my life. Maybe somewhere here this morning you'd like to just lift your hand and say, God, remember me this morning. I'll touch, God bless your hands. You're living with guilt this morning that you just can't get past it. You want that atoning power on you this morning. There's something in you calling for it now. It's Him. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts just now. Lord, we recognize you, that you've taken the service this direction, Lord. We recognize your presence, Father. There's hearts that are needing you just now, Father. Lord, as you start digging deeper to touch that seed life this morning, Father, I pray that you'd break every spirit that's unlike you. Father, there's children here this morning, young people that love you and want to serve you with all their heart. Lord, there's something that's preventing them this morning. I just pray that you would touch them just now, Father. Lord, hands that was lifted all over this building. Father, wanting to come to you. I pray, Father, that you would just give your mercy right here this morning. That you would share that atoning power. That you would share that pardoning grace. That the guilt of sin would leave them this morning. And they could experience that true victory that the message has brought to us. I pray this morning, O God, let your presence move upon each heart, each need, O God. As we come to you this morning, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, have faith in God. Jesus, thank you. In God. In God. Your answer, I feel. Do you know sometimes God gives us just a few moments for a purpose? He creates something for you. Brother Tim Pruitt and I were having a deliverance service at his church not too long ago. I know you've heard some of the testimonies. But there was a little girl come down in the middle of it. I believe her name is Kimberly Ware. About a 15-year-old girl, she come down and asked for prayer for her brother Justin. The meeting should have been over by now. It's a Wednesday night. When she come for prayer, it was up probably maybe 10 o'clock at night. Should have been done, gone home. Everything should have been over. But a little moment of time was created that wouldn't have been normal. But in that moment of time, that little girl stepped down and said, Brother Wayne, said, my brother's in real trouble. Would you pray and ask God to touch him? So Brother Tim, myself, Timothy, and Joe Adams, all the brothers that was there, we laid hands on her and started praying. That young man was at home in bed. You've probably heard the testimony. Home in bed. And the Holy Spirit woke him up. He got up out of that bed and believed he had missed the rapture. But when he realized he still had time, he come running to the altar. When he realized there was a space for him to repent, he come running. I got to get it right with God. Little time was created. We come to an end of service like this just over about a year ago. I was up in my home church there in Bluffton at True Word Tabernacle, and we were preaching, come to the end of the service, and I was just dismissing the service. About walked away, and Brother Ray stepped up to the platform. Never seen him do it before. He said, I just have a strange feeling this morning that the service just is not done. He said, there's somebody in here I believe still needs something from the Lord. He said, if you have something special you need, just come on right now. There's a sister that's been in church for years, wonderful sister. God bless her heart. She was sitting in the assembly. She got up and she come down to the front. She said, Brother Wayne, she said, something's happened to me this morning. She said, I've been carrying the guilt on my life for, I think he said, over 40 years. Where someone had sexually abused her as a child. She said, I've been carrying that guilt for all these years. She said, it's affected my marriage, it's affected my life, it's affected my relationship with God. And she said, and for some reason in my mind, I felt the guilt of what somebody else done to me. Brother Terry, just because of that little space of time, something she had carried her whole life ended just like that. When that left her, she screamed. You could hear her for two blocks. Somebody in the church actually got a little bothered about it. But you could hear her scream for nearly two blocks, Brother Donnie, when that left her life. Because she was completely delivered from that guilt of what somebody else had done to her. Little space of time created. Now, you know Brother Donnie teaches it all the time, so I'm not going to teach it. But eternity is a circle. And time is just a little space in it. When you drop down in that little space of time, you know what happens in there? That's where redemption takes place. That's where the blood is. That's where the devil is destroyed. God created time to destroy his enemy. God created this moment of time to destroy your enemy. Can you imagine right now, in this breath of time, sitting right in this church, something that has plagued you your whole life could leave you? Man come up to me after Tuesday night service, Brother Donnie. He said, Brother Wayne, he said, I've been carrying something for over 30 years. And in the middle of that service, God released me of it. Right here, right now, in this service, something you've been carrying for years can leave you just like that. Just gone. Just can just leave you. Something somebody else done to you that's inhabited your life, it can be gone right here this morning. I believe it's possible this morning. I believe it's real this morning. I don't believe this is just something that's said or something that's talked about, but this is something for you. It's your time. It's your morning. It's your moment to destroy your enemy. I'll tell you, I believe this morning it's within your power. I believe it can be done. Brother, there's a song. There is a fountain filled with blood. Flows from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinners plunge beneath. And it cleanses all our guilty stains. Won't you help me with it this morning?
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's name, and sinners plunge beneath the Lamb, thy
Thank you. There came a thirsting woman drawing water. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. So come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsting woman.
Amen.
Who was drawing from a natural well. Her life was oh so much a mess. And her soul was, it was surely bound for hell. Oh, but then there was a man who came walking by her way. And he was the master of all eternity, who told her, "Sis, you have some sin."
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you drink from this water, you'll never thirst. Oh, you'll never ever thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within.
Freeze
a soul from sin. Won't you, my brother, my sister, come to this water. A river that never shall run dry. There came the sound, a celestial sound from heaven, as a rush mighty wind.
Sing it with me, saints. Amen.
It filled their hearts with some rejoicing and singing, and gave them peace.
Do you need some peace today? Whoa.
A river with no end. There is a river, hallelujah, and it
that way sometimes. How many's felt this way?
And I was right on the verge of just giving over. The strength within myself. Holding me every day I see, yeah, helping me to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly. Do you believe this? Jesus is holding me. Satan lay before me. It was his grand scheme. It was his desire to say, boo devil, boo, 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 boo to me. Now, if I just wait for that tree to begin to move, wait for that revelation, it will be just what I need to keep. Something, something.
of this life, we're getting much closer. The pull you're feeling is so much more than you can bear. And this day you might be on that verge of simply giving over. And the strength within yourself is at a point of despair. Let me tell you, Jesus will hold you every day. I know, even I'm gonna take a step. The authority. Oh, one day I'm gonna take. Oh, into my theophany. Don't you know I'm that final step is going to set me free. My theophany. What's it saying to you, Brother Joel? It's a saying, come up, a little higher,
higher
into. Oh, come up, a little higher into agape love. Oh, come up, a little higher. Don't you worry, little children, should death knock on your door? Don't you know that old death is just a doorway that leads to the heavenly shore? Over there, there's no darkness or heartache, no heartache, no grief or pain, just perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. Don't you know one day a little higher,
a little higher,
a little higher,
to
come
the
up,
perfect
a little higher. Agape love, come up.
calling me. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile.
Oh, that was y'all too.
But the Savior in His love gave me peace, He gave me joy and love when He reached down His hand for me. When He reached down His hand,
oh, He had to come so low. Huh?
I'm glad about it. When He reached way down for me, oh, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. Nearing despair.
Hallelujah.
When He came to me there, and He showed me
that
the secrets of this great mystery. Then He lifted my feet, gave me glory.
Believe this.
When He reached out for me, when He reached out His hand for me,
come on, son, get up.
He had to reach. I give my life away. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself to You and to You alone. Oh, I give myself away so You can use me. Oh, I give myself away so You. Here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in Your hands.
give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my as a living sacrifice. My dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them within your hands. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself. Is not my own. To you I belong.
Amen.
I give myself to you. Lord, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart. For it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Oh, it's all about you. My life is all about you, Jesus. King of endless word, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have desired. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, for it's all
about you. It should be all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It should be all about you. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Oh, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. You are
supply. Oh, my need,
each and every one of my need,
you are more than enough. 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 Lord, you open the flood gates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the flood, I hear the abundance of rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible says? Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible says? You're gonna need it. You're gonna need it. Church, you will need it like the Bible says. You're gonna need it. You're gonna need it. You're gonna need it like the Bible says. Oh, do you want it?
Jesus. I'm glad I've got it. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad our church has got it. I'm glad God's restored in the last days. Hallelujah. Amen. What is it? The Omega Bride. The Omega Bride. She was Alpha. Now she's Omega. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, glory to God. I'm kind of feeling like Brother Branham. I might want to get out in the middle of that floor and dance a little bit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why not? The Word has come back. The power of God's come back. The right baptism has come back. The message has come back. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many believes it?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Amen.
Lord, have mercy, children. Glory. It's going to keep getting greater and greater. One of these days, we're going to bust out of these bodies. When I started getting a teenager, and my mama would tell me, boy, you're getting too big for your britches. You know, I'd start smart-mouthing her and saying things like that. But I kind of feel like that's what's happening to my soul. My soul's getting too big for this body. It feels like it's about to bust out of here. Oh, glory. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne, for coming by and being with us today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We've truly been blessed, haven't we? Oh, thank God. I received a text this morning from Brother Ron Spencer, and he said that Brother Frazier, they hadn't been able to wake him up today, and that would have been about 10:45, something like that. I'm not sure if anybody's heard an update since then or not. But our brother's picked up another infection in his body. They're going to do a brain scan on him. They're doing some drugs, almost like chemo-type drugs. So we want to remember him today before we go. I feel it would be kind of selfish on our part to be able to rejoice in all this and enjoy it, not bring it. You know, he's been through so much. We realize when it comes close to time for a saint of God to cross over, even prayer won't hold us here if our life is destined. But many times we don't know when that time is, so we want to pray for our brother today. Can we do that? And we'll dismiss as we go. Heavenly Father, we so thank you today for your presence among us. Thank you for your word. We believe once again, Lord, you've come, and last night and today both. We're believing, Heavenly Father, that many of your people have not only been touched, but delivered. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're a living God, and you're among us in a great way. And we know this is not for the world, Brother Wayne will never hit the Pentecostal circuit, and he'll never be an international TV preacher, or myself, or any of the rest of these brothers here. But Lord, it's for your people, for your bride, this stirring. Oh, the prophet said, you wait till that little bride lines herself up. He said, then there'll be that message, that short, quick work that'll catch her out of here. Glory to God. We must be getting close somewhere, Lord. Politics is having their revival. The world is having theirs. The gathering all together. And the bride is having hers. Father, we want to bring before you today, Brother Homer Frazier. You see, Lord, all our brothers been through. All the suffering in his body and his family. We want to pray for Sister Nancy today, his wife. Lord, I know she's really been going through a real terrible time in this last week and really distraught. The doctor's not giving them much help. Sister Connie's dealing with her own battles in her body, and yet, Lord, going back and forth over an hour drive every day when they don't stay there to see Brother Homer and helping her mama. Lord, you just see their needs. Lord, we know that your people, we are not exempt from such things, but we know that the power of God is here to help us. So may your presence go there, Lord, to our brother. We believe we're brought on the earth to serve you and complete your purpose. Satan cannot take us till that purpose is done. Move for Brother Frazier, I pray. Help the doctors, Lord. Guide them. Now, Lord, as we come to the close of the service, it makes our hearts feel sad to know that before long, 15, 20 minutes, 30, maybe an hour, the anointing will kind of pull off of us and we'll come back down to being humans and we'll go to laughing and talking and thinking of things that we're faced with tomorrow and all that. But how we long for the day, Lord, when we'll never have to leave this type of anointing. But for eternity, we'll be in your presence. No more worries, no more heartaches, no more troubles. Lord, I pray you'd encourage those today and even last night, even those that we had the prayer line here a few weeks ago. Maybe their prayer hasn't come through yet. Maybe their miracle hasn't happened. But may they keep right on believing. Some, you do it instantly. There's others, you'll use them as an example of a continuing faith, a persistent faith. But may they have that type of faith. Go with us now, Lord, we pray. Minister strength back to your servant today, Father. We love you, dear God. How we long for that day when we can come all up to your house and sit down at your table, Lord Jesus. Until that time, keep us faithful and true. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You love him with all your heart. Amen. You love your brothers and sisters. Amen. It's a wonderful privilege to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. Sing something for us, Harry, as we go. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Boy, thanks. Shall we have Brother Wayne come back sometime? Yes.
Eternity awaits us. Come away.